Perception presents Wyman Smith.
Hello.
Hi, Wyman. From your last text, you had a lot going on last night. Thought I'd call and talk to you about it. And first of all, I'll say how you're having Bigfoot activity on your property now for years. Is resulting in things like what happened last night. And let's talk about that. And then after, we'll talk about when you started noticing this from the beginning. So last night you had some activity.
Yeah, last night, it gets dark around 5 o'clock. Starts getting dark around 4:30, 5 o'clock. But it's dusk until about 5:30, but by the time 5:30 hits, it's dark. Anyway, my dog has started barking like maybe at around 5 o'clock. She barked once, she barked a second time 5 minutes later. And so I got my phone and got it out on the deck at like 5:13, and it was dusk. You could see 100 yards easily, but she was barking. I got it out there, and within 1 minute of it being out there, I had like one tree knock, and then in the second minute I had three tree knocks, and the third minute I had two tree knocks, and it just started right off. And in the eighth minute I had like eight tree knocks, so things were up and rolling. The creatures seemed to be coming in here and getting my dog to bark, doing mimics and different things to irritate the dog, I believe, or trying to get my attention also. They like to seem to get me out on the porch sometimes. Sometimes they do different things to get us out there. Last night, I heard some really strange heavy breathing. It just was like a kind of like Darth Vader breathing. It sounded almost mechanical, but it was just short and, you know, it was not anything like a cougar hissing or anything. It wasn't like a hiss. It was like real heavy breathing. I don't know. It just kind of threw me for a loop. Mm-hmm. I was really confused. So I listened on to the recording, and later into the recording, I ended up getting my dog was barking, and I heard in the recording, right after, as the dog was barking, the dog paused just a second, and I heard, "Hey," and then the coyote started howling, and that was a nice, normal coyote howling, I believe, because in the past, here not too long ago, like last week, we were woke up in bed in the morning by what sounded like a coyote right in our driveway, but it was not. It was further back, and it was actually a mimic.
Could you repeat that last part, Wyman?
It was, okay, this thing is, phone's beeping because my clinic is trying to call me. Anyway, are you getting those beeps?
I did hear the beep.
Okay.
That's okay.
I'm hoping that they'll just stop here real quick. Okay. It sounded like it was so loud that it sounded like it was right in the driveway. But these Bigfoots have a very, very large set of lungs, and they are, when they mimic sometimes, they are way too loud. And this was very, very loud, way too loud for a coyote. As people make jokes, it's a 600-pound coyote. It probably was on the back of my property, and it had a shrill to it. It was like it was trying to mimic a coyote howling, but it had this screechy shrill that it carried on way too long. And that gave it away, and I heard that another night a few days later, but further away. But what I heard last night sounded like regular coyotes. So, and sometimes the coyotes will join in when the Bigfoot is making that mimic of them. It's kind of like my dog tries to howl over the top of the coyotes. When the coyotes are yipping and howling, she will howl over the top of them, trying to be bigger, badder, or whatever. Anyway, the coyotes will join in sometimes when the Bigfoot's doing that.
Makes sense.
So
hearing coyotes, that's a good sign. Bigfoot wouldn't mimic something unless it was in that area. Otherwise, even though the Bigfoot seems to make mistakes, it would likely be mimicking something that belongs out there.
They make mistakes when they started, when this was started rolling pretty heavy in 2018, there were some juveniles in here above me, and they were making these knocks and rooster crows, and they would do the rooster crows too fast, like and that's definitely not how my rooster crows. He will crow and he'll wait 10, 15, 20 seconds before he crows a second time. And then he'll wait another 20, 30 seconds. Well, these Bigfoots will make 15 or 20 of these mimics in, 10, 15 seconds. They just rapid. And they have got to where they're slowing up on that some, but they haven't been around doing that very much for, I'd say the last 3 or 4 months or 6 months. But all of a sudden, the last 2 days, they made about 8 of those yesterday, and they made 15 in a row today. But they were spaced out some, but they were still Bigfoot mimicking my rooster.
I've always thought now, that when you hear knocks, it's one Bigfoot communicating to another, like, hey, it's safe to come back to the clan, or, okay, now I'm going out to forage. But all of these sounds, these mimicking, what do you think the point is, and who's doing it?
The mimicking, I think, is actually directed at me. It's not directed at my dog, because my dog, when the mimics have started and whenever they've happened, the dog doesn't seem to bark at them. Or sometimes they can make a loud bang on a piece of metal, a siding on a house or roof, metal roofing, and they'll slap it with their hands. That will set my dog off. But when they are just naturally doing, when these creatures are just naturally out there trying to make these rooster crows, the dog doesn't respond. I don't know why. A lot of their tree knocks, I believe, are just to get my dog to bark. And if they can get my dog to bark enough, I will go outside and shine a light around. and I think that's part of their game. I'm not sure that all of the tree knocks that are done are them communicating back and forth. I really don't, although it is one of the main things it's used for. This is another form of Bigfoot that we're dealing with here, the suburbanite, more juvenile type Sasquatches here are adapting and doing things differently than most Bigfoots out in the woods are. These are used to coming in around people's houses, watching the people and things like that. Where if people go out in the woods camping, a Bigfoot will come in and harass them and try and kind of run them off. But here, they're not trying to run us off. They're trying to get our attention, trying to get recognition from us. They're doing differently. They're sitting back watching people, and people have no idea. They are sitting back watching. They're kind of like watchers. And they watch people, and they watch what they do, and they learn your patterns when you're gone, when you're asleep. And that's when they can do things, and they figure it out. You know when you can hear them and when you can't. So
the watching and the studying sounds like adult behavior. And yet, some of this, it sounds very juvenile.
Well, their adult behavior may not be more than about a 14 or 15-year-old person. They are very, very sharp. They're creatures of their environment, so they know where... they know where to go and how to hide from you, yet they make noise and they want you to come out and look around, and then they want to peek at you and then make you think that they're there or not there or something's there. And I don't totally understand everything they do, but some of their tree knocks are to make us to get our attention. It's like sometimes they do things and then they want us to recognize that it was them, but yet they hide and don't want to be seen. And there's times that it's almost like they want you to see them, but they don't want you to see them. I don't know. They'll give you opportunities to see them, and then other times they're hiding so much that we don't know that they're out there. I've heard people say on the YouTube channels that these things are more places than people realize. Mm-hmm. They're closer to town. There's many more of them than people know. I've talked to people who say they know about them, and then I ask them a few questions and they're left kind of, we didn't think about that. We didn't think about this, and I guess they could be hiding here and they could be hiding there, and we wouldn't even know it. So,
yeah.
That's what.
Well, when I thought this behavior was mostly the juvenile, you know, that's one thing. But thinking that the adults are doing it too, that's actually more scary.
Yeah. The adults are maybe more dangerous, but the juveniles will get out there and make stupid mistakes. The juveniles are the ones that will see kids playing and want to come join in a schoolyard or baseball game or something, they'll see all the people, maybe the outfielders or something, they'll want to go out there and try to be a part of it, and they'll make stupid mistakes like that. I have a stepson, and he has a son, and they have both seen them. One was when they were out camping, and the other one was when he was at school, after school, in the Portland area, in the bushes and trees back behind, where kids used to go smoke, and went down there, and he said he saw one turn around and walk away. And it was only like 20, 30 feet from him, so, yeah, he definitely saw it.
Tell us about your juvenile and why you think it's a juvenile.
I think there's more than one here, because when they turned the light down out front, I got two sets of tracks. One was 12 by 6 and a half, and the other one was 13 by 8 inches. And in some photographs that I took in June of 2019, this year, I see two juveniles side by side hanging onto a couple of small oak trees. And one's taller and bigger than the other, one's, you know, a bit smaller. One's like 4.5, 5 feet, and the other one's like 6 feet. But then I saw a female there that was probably 7, 7.5 feet maybe. And then I've seen the gray one, the male. And when I first saw him, I thought he was shorter, but it's because he was crouching down working on the marker tree. Mm-hmm. And he turned and looked at me. He was still crouched down, and he turned around and walked away. They kind of act and walk bent over. I saw this creature about 4 days later, and he crossed an open place about 40 or 50 feet. I was about 80 yards from him with a bright light on him, and he looked every bit of 9 foot tall.
Wow.
And then he left me a 15 by 8 inch track. It was not an impression type track. It was a track that was ripped into my pasture. And the grass and the dirt and everything was really hard, and he ripped this big print into it, which I did cast. And then after late, I don't know, maybe February, March, somewhere in there, I found, and okay, the tracks that he ripped in the ground, the 15 by 8, had claw marks in it, and he had torn claw marks in the pasture also. So he has real big claws on his back feet. Well, I think most of them do, and I've heard that from other people. I've seen it in different tracks. Claw marks on the, like a bear does on his back feet, but I don't think they're that deep. Anyway, back to the claw marks I saw in February or March of 2019, that print was about 19 inches in the beginning. Yeah, this track, I could see the impression of one side of it into the hard dirt, and then I could see the claw marks of all five toes out there, and then I could see the heel. So there was about 4 or 5 of these prints that I could see. It went into some more grassy area, and I couldn't see it as well, but there were a number of tracks there, and I got good pictures of them, but it just shows me that there is a full adult male there. There is the first creature that I saw that we have named, and he has one red eye or one eye whenever we see him. I saw him back in 2015, about 10 days apart. I saw him twice one night, just like 5 or 10 seconds apart, and then about 10 days later, I saw him one more time. And then about 2 years later, I saw him on the back of my property, and it was really interesting because I had a light on him, and he was walking kind of parallel towards me, and my light was picking up the reflection out of the side of his one eye. And as he turned it towards me, it turned and got more and more red. It was kind of a dull color, yellow color. I thought first it was somebody walking down the road back there with an old flashlight, but it wasn't. He turned and looked at me, and his eye got great big and red, and I knew it was one eye. We did get a picture of one eye in the trail cam later, and I've seen him hide down in the pasture in about November of 2018. My dog barked, and I went outside. There was a big pile of brush from the tree, the marker tree I'd cut down, and he dove in behind that to hide from me. And I could see his lower back, his butt. I could see both of his legs, and I even saw him move one of his leg a little bit. But his head and shoulders and front half was pretty well hidden. If I was on ground level with him, I could have never saw him. But since I was looking down at him from my deck, which my deck's 10 feet off the ground, and then he was probably another 8 or 10 feet lower downhill from me, and he wasn't more than about 50 yards away, I could see him laying there, and I figured, it's kind of like some animals, if you can't see them, they don't think you can. If they can't see you, they think you can't see them. But my phone was already in the window recording, and it was 1:30 in the morning, and I had my light on him and watched him for a number of minutes. But if somebody was like, if somebody was awake or somebody was here, I could have taken a camera or something and gone down and tried to flush him out. Hopefully he would have run and not attacked me, but again, you're not going to get very good pictures at night.
I think you've become very brave.
Yeah, but I'm cautious too, because I'm older and I'm somewhat handicapped. So I don't take too many extra chances because I know I can't run very fast, and they can. They scare my dog quite a bit. Sometimes my dog will take off a barking and yipping, and this one, when it came up, well, this 19-inch track one come up right beside my driveway. He wasn't more than 30, 40 yards from my house. He was close, too close. Uh-huh. That's what upset me. And I've heard too many things out front of my house or alongside of the house. And these things I know come into around my house and my barn. My goats act really scared of them.
What's some evidence you can tell us of when maybe they've come into your barnyard?
I found their tracks in the barnyard. I saw last summer there was a 5-gallon bucket of water there, and my goats were drinking out of it. And normally the goats will drink it down about a third, maybe a quarter. They don't drink a whole lot of water sometimes, usually not. And I went out there and I found the 5-gallon bucket completely empty. And I know the goats couldn't have drank that much water. And it's like Bigfoot just drank the whole 5-gallon bucket, or 3/4 of it, which was, or 2/3 of it, whatever was left. I have found a plastic lawn chair, the kind that stack up. They had one out there for me to sit down on and rest sometimes. They picked that up in my driveway, threw it over into my barnyard upside down. I found it laying out there. They were mad because I locked them out of the chicken pen where they were stealing eggs and leaving little sticks of weed stems, 4, 5, 6 inches long, that they have left, taken the egg and put that in the nest where the egg was. Tonight I went out there, I found one egg there. Sometimes they're here, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they come in closer, sometimes they don't. They used to be in my pasture. I used to get glimpses of eye shine. In 2018, almost every night I could go out and get glimpses of eye shine. There were times I would get a glimpse of eye shine behind this tree and shine the light around and get a glimpse of eye behind that tree. And I knew I had two creatures right down here in my pasture, 50, 60 yards from my house, watching me at night. I have purchased better lights, spotlights, and I have also put up 12-volt ATV headlights out at the lower front of my house and the back of my house that lights up a big section of my pasture, just like a car headlight. It's an ATV 12-volt headlight. So it's a big, bright light, and it lights up a big area. And that and the spotlights, they seem to be staying back more. Besides that, I have put reflectors up that I made. Whenever I shine a light around, but this year, this spring, I was shining my light in the pasture and I saw the Bigfoot, a buck one, run over and hide behind a tree. That was another sighting for this year, 2019, that I've had. And I've never seen them do that before. I've heard them do it. I've heard them walk down through the trees breaking branches. But, yeah, I'm actually out here looking at a tree limb on one of my pine trees by the road. Looks like it's been bent down.
You say right now?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here. I just noticed it's hanging way down. They'll take a branch like that they can get. If you stop and think, maybe if the thing's 8 foot tall and their arms are longer than normal, they can probably reach up another 3 feet. So they can reach up 11 foot and grab a branch and pull it down and then twist it until it fractures inside, splinters. And usually if it's like a pine tree it will put out quite a bit of pitch, maybe heal itself, but I've seen three or four big junipers and a lot of big oak tree branches that have been twisted and turned, and then they end up dying over the next year. And then you've got this dead branch hanging out of the side of a tree, and everything else on the tree is green and alive, but the branch is just hanging there dead. It stands out, not to you or me, but it stands out to other Bigfoots. They can see these things, and they're like a type of a marker.
And in this case, they're marking it to tell who?
To tell other Bigfoots that this is their territory.
I see, yes. Do you think they know that you know that they do this?
Oh, absolutely. The reason is when I saw the gray one in my pasture twisting and turning the branches and making that tree a territorial tree, I spotted him, I saw him, he got mad, disgusted, and later that night he come up and ripped the footprints in the pasture. Well, I went down the next day and cast that track, and the next day I took my chainsaw and hired some help, brought a guy up here, and I cut that tree up and brought the main part of the tree up for firewood, cut all the branches and piled them over by where I'm going to burn them. And I did that, then that's why I saw it standing there 4 or 5 days later when it ran across that open place. It was standing there. My dog had barked at it. And it was standing out there. I shined a light on it, and it looked up at me and turned around and ran back down from where it came from.
So these markers aren't meant for you, but meant for them, saying to other Bigfoot creatures, this is our property, and yet it's your property. And I know you said there seems to be one clan that you know of. You said the gray one is about 9 feet tall. One eye, because his other eye has been damaged. So there's only one eye shine when you see that one. A juvenile, because of all the juvenile things that happen, like mimicking animals incorrectly. And when we haven't mentioned a female one, for reasons that sound valid to think that, which we can get into another time. So there's this one family group, and for them to be marking around your property for other Bigfoot to see, that means there's other Sasquatches out there besides this group. They must just really be used to marking their territory, just in case another Bigfoot comes by.
Yeah, that's correct. I believe there's other Bigfoots that are out there walking around looking, and they're in all types of areas. And I believe these travel around anywhere within 5 or 10 miles of here very frequently. There's some nights they're gone, and then there's other nights they're here early in the evening, and then they're gone. And they'll be gone all night, and they'll come back through here about 8:30 in the morning. And it will actually be light, and then that's when they will sometimes make mimics of the rooster, or they'll do knocks just to get the dog barking. I believe my dog senses and smells them, and wow, that just made me think of something.
Yeah.
One of the very first things I ever heard was like a Bigfoot or a bear. I thought I heard two bears fighting up the hill quite a ways, and my dogs were barking and coming in food because they heard it. I went outside trying to light around, and I heard the growling and a bunch of growling going on. And I wasn't sure after I thought about it. Maybe it was a Bigfoot throwing a temper tantrum. But now maybe it was a Bigfoot, two Bigfoots fighting. Maybe one trying to chase another one off, or them just fighting and establishing dominance in the group.
Good point.
You know.
Yeah. The light bulb also came on for me just now. The idea that these broken tree branch markers around your property inadvertently, perhaps, are keeping the other Sasquatch away from your property. That sounds like a win right there. If that's an effect of that, even though you don't want these Sasquatches claiming your property, to think that it's keeping other ones away, that sounds, well, it's something I hadn't considered.
That is an interesting thought. It does make you wonder if they weren't, like you said, trying to keep others back from this property, but maybe at the same time protecting it.
Yeah. Wow. That kind of blows your mind. I think we're getting somewhere.
When we've wondered many times, they could have come in and taken goats every day, and they haven't. They took one goat near the beginning of 2018. He was a goat that would stand his ground. He was the lead goat for the flock, and he just vanished. And when you have an animal that just vanishes, it's usually these creatures take them, they grab their head, break their neck, throw them over their shoulder. There's no sign of a struggle, usually, and they just carry it off. They're so big and powerful. They can throw a deer over their shoulder and carry it off.
So maybe an enemy Bigfoot took that goat. Because like you're saying, these other Bigfoot seem to be there, have been around since 2015 that you know of, since you've learned to pay attention to the signs, which means they were there before that, and you found signs of that. But actually monitoring it, seeing the signs since 2015, and only one goat's been taken.
Yeah, it's rather interesting. Mm-hmm. We haven't experienced really anything taken out of the garden or off the fruit trees to speak of. It's been rather interesting.
You know, you've mentioned how they are amused and do certain things because of you. The mimicking, the watching. And you mentioned their mentality, like a 14-year-old perhaps. You do things other neighbors don't do, because when you talk to the neighbors, and when I say neighbors, they're scattered. It's not like a normal neighborhood. They're pretty far away. But from what you know of, no one, not many out there believe in this. But you do, and you do certain things because of it. And I'm just wondering if these creatures have picked up on that.
That may be a possibility. There is another neighbor up here that has a lot of the same things I do. And that neighbor doesn't believe in them, as far as I can tell. They were kind of halfway aware that they were here, but they didn't really want to admit it, where another neighbor has been having some harassment. They
So,
could be looking out for everyone on the hillside.
without saying too much, well, I guess we could just say this. There's a lot of food source there, cover. That's worth protecting. In that area. Something we haven't said yet, we can say this. You live in Washington State, and from listening to SasquatchChronicles.com, we've learned a lot. And I know that's been a good thing for you as you've wanted to learn. Something we've heard a lot is when people have encounters, they are hungry to have others that have experienced something similar, and it's like therapy to hear it. And something I heard just the other day, because I can listen to any episode I want of that anytime, even if it's an old one. And it was said that Washington State has so much activity, all kinds of strange stuff. So it's easy to believe that maybe these creatures are wanting to protect that area. You mentioned your pasture. Can you define a pasture? That means it's your property and your goats use it. Is that what a pasture is?
Well, it's fenced, and it's the only really fenced property up here. There's other fences, barbed wire fences here or there, but those are easily stepped over, where some of my fences are taller and have a top wire that would be a little harder to get over, but these things go wherever they want.
So past right. So pasture versus open range, you put a fence. Okay. Okay,
There's
just for the listeners.
property below me that's wide open fields. They've got fences around them, but they just to keep cattle in now and then. The deer jump over them, the elk jump over them, the coyotes go under them and through them. Some of the ranchers and farmers around don't keep really, really good pasture fences up. Some do, some don't. I have found throughout my pastures that there's trees that are pushed over sideways and leaning, and there's trees that have branches that are twisted and broken 2 or 3 inches out from the tree, inch and a half limb, and it's broken and left hanging as a visible sign. And I have even found a juniper tree that was like 14, 15 feet tall. And a Bigfoot had taken it and snapped it, grabbed it up about 7 feet, broke it right in half, and pulled on it a little bit, and it kind of stripped down, and the top was left touching the ground, and it was a basically a tree break, like you could find the pine tree or any other tree. This happened to be a juniper, and they make those type of markers out in the forest a lot, where out in the forest, it's a huge, big area. And out there, they'll take and make large markers out of 6 or 8 trees crisscrossed and like in a big star or something. You'll find a root wad end up in the air, so that you know that they've done it. It's a Bigfoot structure. It's a territorial marker. But the suburbanite Sasquatches that are around residential areas more, they are breaking branches and leaving them hang, or they're breaking small trees, leaving them there. They're breaking large branches on junipers or oak trees or pine trees, any tree that's around. They'll take and snap it, a big branch, by twisting it and breaking it. Different type of marker for a different type of area. There's a residential areas may border back up against the forest, but where they come in around the people's houses, they will make smaller markers or signs versus the large ones. They're making their markers, and the other Bigfoots can see them. It's obvious, and it's just a different tactic for a different environment, I would say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, my dog's already barking this time of night. And, what time is it?
Your dog's barking right now?
Yeah, 4:30 at night. She's barking, looking around, then barking, barking, barking. And the thing is these Bigfoots are getting ready to go out and around, and where they're just out here knocking and making her bark. And she will bark and bark and bark, and she actually, I believe, kind of calls them in and barks, and she wants them to make a knock or two or a noise so she can bark more. And it's like my dog wants to tell me that these creatures are out there and she's barking at them, but yet the creatures are out there keeping the dog barking so that I will go out and look now and then. I don't know what and why they do what they do, but
I've some had
nights one, I'll have,
yeah.
Huh?
I've had one theory. They get your dog to barking because they're moving through the area and they're so loud. Well, they can be very stealthy, but still, get the dog barking, get that noise generated, and they could pass by. Just a thought.
Huh.
So many thoughts. Earlier.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Earlier in our discussion, you mentioned what happened just last night. something we could talk about more is something said, hey. Why don't you tell the audience about how you record these recordings?
Well, I make suggestions to people that they take their cell phone and download a free recording app that doesn't record the silent areas. It only records the noises. This way, my dog can sit here and be quiet for 2 hours, and then if a cougar or a bear or a Bigfoot or a raccoon comes on the property, the dog starts barking, I get it in the recording because it's sound activated. And once it's sound activated, then I get, then you get to find out what's happening outside your house at night. And all you got to do is crack a window and set it in the edge of the window or set it out on your porch, someplace where it's safe, and get recordings and listen and see what's out there. Now, the first time that I heard hay on this property, it wasn't actually on this property, but I was looking and it had got dusk and it was just about dark and I was finishing up working on a gutter. My dog started barking real loud and carrying on, and I heard, hey, real loud. And it's like the spirit said to me, pay attention to this. And so I walked down the driveway and looked out into the open field where the sound came from, but I didn't see anything. And later, I come to the conclusion that what the spirit was saying, pay attention, is pay attention, learn about these things. Get the information and find out what it is so that you can be aware. I'm not the only person around. There's people that have these things harassing them at their property down south along the Appalachian Mountain Trail and different states, Montana and everywhere. People that live out in the country, people that live out in the hills, you find them. It's kind of like the theory, if you want to find a Bigfoot, you don't have to go out there and try to call it or bang on trees or do stupid things like that. All you got to do is go out camping, build a campfire, and sit around and talk and enjoy, and maybe have phone recorder ready, or make darn sure you got a gun and bear spray, and just do what you do, and they will find you. They'll hear and smell you talking and laughing and cooking. They know, and they will come in and listen and watch. Sometimes they'll make themselves known. Sometimes they won't. But usually they're out there, and if they are, a lot of times they start by making howls and knocks or whoops. Here, we haven't really heard any whoops. We've heard different noises, vocalizations like the hay, dog mimics, chicken mimics, rooster mimics, owl mimics, coyote mimics, just mimic just about anything. I believe the other day I heard caw, caw, same as a raven. Now, this morning I heard a couple of ravens in a recording downhill, and they were calling caw, caw, back and forth, caw, 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 caw. And they were flying and you could hear them. You could hear their wings and things like that. Where the one I heard, caw, caw, and there was no other sound. There was no other ravens responded. You didn't hear their wings. You didn't hear anything. It's kind of like bark at owl sounds now because she knows it's a creature. Well, we do have owls out here, and they do make noise, and they'll try to mimic the owl sounds, but if I walk up to my bedroom window, my dog's barking, and I'm hearing owl sounds. If I shine a light out that bedroom window, the owl sounds shut up. And that doesn't bother a regular owl. If a regular owl's out there somewhere, a half a mile away or a quarter mile, making sounds, and you shine a light out your bedroom window, that owl doesn't see it. That owl keeps making hoots. Hoo-hoo. But when I shine a light out the window and it shuts up, then it's a Bigfoot. He's out there watching me. I'd come outside. What?
Oh, I'm at the edge of my seat listening to this, so it's fun to imagine how other people will be affected by this when they hear it. Something I like to tell people about the mimicking that goes on out there is like the rooster mimics. Well, number one, it's not being mimicked correctly. And you've said how the Bigfoot's vocal cords are a certain way and whatnot, but does it incorrectly, but is trying really hard to get it right, almost trying too hard. And you can tell. A rooster does it, it's natural. Something's mimicking it, it's forced. It's like it's learning. And sometimes it messes up. And you've learned to notice that. Another thing is, you have one rooster, so you're probably going to know what your rooster sounds like. But also, there aren't a lot of roosters out there. Probably just one, and that's yours. So if you hear a rooster mimic coming from a different direction 200 yards away, well, that's not your rooster. That's what I like to tell people. You mentioned that you heard a dog just the other day. Can you explain to us why that's unusual? The dog that shouldn't have been there.
Some of my neighbors have dogs. They're little dogs, and they're little yappy. Little dogs. And when I hear a dog that goes, burr, 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 and then my dog going, burr, 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 burr. I mean, I can hear the different sounds, and when I hear a different sound and where they're coming from, you can tell that something else is making that sound. It doesn't sound like a dog that belongs here. And this is partly where I think these Bigfoots have traveled and gone to other areas and listened to dogs and things there. And they might come back and use those same sounds here, and we don't have a dog that sounds like that here. I've had three or four times where I can tell on my recording, my dog is right near the house here, and I hear another dog that sounds almost like her in the back of the property. And it sounds like she's barking back there, and I'll hear her and then I'll hear her go and she'll go running back there, and it sounded a lot like her, but it come from a different area than where she was, and she's the only big dog on the hill that's making these noises, and these Bigfoots were mimicking her, and they could mimic her and make her run back there and bark and carry on. We're half worried about the coyotes trying to call her out, or Bigfoot trying to call her back there and losing her. But she's a pretty smart dog. She's not stupid. She's a smart girl. So these different dogs, I've heard different dogs, and I've heard like one of my neighbor's dogs, and I hear it at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, yep. Just once, just like that. And I could tell it's like their dogs, but those people aren't up at 2 o'clock in the morning. They go to bed early and they get up early and they go into town early and work and do, but the dog, their dogs usually stay in the house most of the time, and I don't hear them too much once it's cold. They're little house dogs.
Right.
So, there's just different ways. You get used to the sound. It's just like, I can hear my dog bark, and then I can hear my dog bark seriously, and then I can hear when I need to go out and see what's going on.
Yeah, and you've had so much mimicking. You've been recording these audio for such a long time now. You know what to listen for, and you know what's not normal. So it's natural to think that if you hear an out-of-place animal sound, it's probably the Bigfoot, because they've shown that's what they do. You probably have more Bigfoot out there than dogs.
You don't want to think everything's a Bigfoot, but up here, that's pretty much the case. Everything is a Bigfoot. And then it's like, okay, my dog's barking right now. Burr, 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 burr. Burr, burr, burr.
Right.
I'm
going to let you go soon so you can start recording that audio. But really quick, you mentioned in what you recorded the other night, a sound that was like breathing through an air tank, like a spacesuit, like Darth Vader. And for the listeners to know, you are hard of hearing somewhat, which means when you hear something, you're really hearing it. That's how I take that. So I know, jet planes may go overhead once in a while in the night sky, and that comes up on the recording, but jet planes don't sound like Darth Vader, so that'll probably remain a mystery. But one thing I like about your recording and documenting is if it happens again, you're gonna record it, you're gonna document it, write it down. Maybe these things will make sense someday. But when people don't pay attention, they're not going to write this stuff down. They're not going to be able to connect the dots. And something I like to say, anything is important data. If it ends up not being Bigfoot related, well, you know that now because you were paying attention, and that's important also. Shall we close down our talk for now?
Sounds good. Sounds like we did good.
Yes, and there's so much more to talk about, so I'm encouraged that we're going to do more of these. a lot. We haven't talked about so many things that are going on out there, but we did cover mimicking animal sounds pretty well and also gave some of the background of your situation. And so I will post links on this podcast to some of the things you mentioned, just for all the listeners to know. Wyman does have a website. His purpose is to help others with the same situation. He's become somewhat of a consultant on it because he's had to live with it. The website is a place for people to go, like self-help on Bigfoot harassment. And I'll post that link. So,
sounds good.
Yep. Thank you, Wyman.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Okay. God bless.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, my thanks to Wyman Smith of 911 Bigfoot Help for spending the last hour with us. And we learned some things about animal sounds, Bigfoot mimicking animal sounds, and Wyman's life out there. Again, I will post the website link and some of the pages that we mentioned, pages being sightings, helpful information, what to do, what not to do. He mentioned the gray 9-foot tall Bigfoot twisting up one of his trees, creating a marker. That is one of the sightings. In the sightings section of the website, 911 Bigfoot Help. So, thank you.